And then, well, we inherit some kind of a Christianity, original sin. Well, if I finish reading it, I'm trying to pick it up, I think, well, I'll be able to explain it a bit better. But I believe, okay, picking that apple from the Garden of Heaven is a thought process. Adam and Eve was tempted by Gabriel, I believe, right? The devil, in the name of a shepherd. And say, if you take this and you will be and all that, well, be whatever. And that is a thought process that we generate. I'll run on that one and try to read Genesis and see what is actually said. But again, that was translated from Hebrew to Greek and from Greek to English. So a lot of the original meaning might have been lost. Now, this is really the essence of what ego is all about, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the word I, together with me, myself, are the most used words in the English language. Now, words and label are thought forms. Word I, in normal daily use, is a misinterpretation of who you are, but an illusionary sense of identity. Now, again, we bring up the word identity, illusion, as Einstein has said. Now, look at here, the cat. He's in the cat family. He looked inside here, he saw himself as a lion. What's going on? The thought process think he is a lot bigger. It's that illusion in the head of the cat, in the cat's thinking process, that made the cat feel and think that he's a lion. And that is an illusion. And that is a version of I, self, and ego. Thanks, Rudy. That's a great slide. Now, this is first section on definition of ego. Any questions from the audience? The crux of the presentation is really, is a thought form. Okay. Yes, please.
In a sentence, the definition of ego, we use the Einstein's definition then?
Definition is of a thought form. Use whatever definition that fits the idea, please. Yes, I think that is a very good definition. It's much easier to understand than Descartes and Savasatri. Yes, thanks. It's my ego blocking it. Yeah, thank you. Hey, well, once we understand the concept, everything we can just blame it on the ego, right? You know, the blaming game is also an ego game. Okay, so we'll explain that in the subsequent section of this presentation.
It might be too early, but maybe it's time to also mention the Mahayana Buddhist concept of heaven, that they have three layers of heaven. The first layer are the heavens of desires. Within this realm of heaven of desire, there's the six levels. And then the next one is the heavenly realm of forms. Right? Sick guy. Right? So that is some of the satire was saying, forms. Right? And then the highest level of existence is the non-form. Non-form just means most guy, just a thought process. That means the existence is pure thought process. So in fact, the philosophers and their definition of existence in the attempt to answer the Zen question of existential doubt, as mentioned in your lecture, your slide, maybe Monique can go back to that slide, please. It's the slide number 6, please. Alright. So in fact, Descartes is referring to the highest or third realm of existence, that the thought process itself is a form of existence, and which is echoed by Jean Paul, but then Jean Paul is making it a bit more maybe closer to the second realm. So anyway, I'm just trying to relate this Western philosophy to the ancient Buddhist teaching, which is what the AW mentioned.
I'm not quite understanding when people can talk about the consciousness.
Consciousness.
Yeah, it is quite confusing there. Could you please explain to me?
Yeah, okay. Consciousness is not the same term as what we day-to-day call alertness. Mm-hmm. Like you and I are alert, but we are not conscious. Okay, we're not talking about the same thing. Consciousness is kind of a higher thinking process. Now, this again is thinking, okay? Mm-hmm. Consciousness is more like a spirituality. You feel who you are, what you are, but not what you think about the I, the all the things. It's kind of a spiritual inside feeling.
Well, as I understand that, it's just like, you know, just imagine when you first born, you don't know nothing. You just basically realize, you know, you grew up, you learned that thing from society, that's like, it's not here anymore.
Because that concept.
That's what it's trying to explain at MRI,
right?
So when
you first born, that means you really conscious?
Because everything is natural. You're not learning anything from anywhere. Until you grew up, you just learn things from, like, you know, different people, and then, you know, like, whatever you think, like, positive, negative, is right or wrong, how do you judge that? It's by people, right? Mm-hmm. By society.
So that's not conscious.
That is a different form.
Yeah.
That is not the true nature of us. The true nature, not what we perceive what nature means. So later on when we talk about perception, you ask a very good question. You are way ahead of the game. And I know you are. Because a lot of these terms will come together when you have the later exposures to it, all the other lectures. It is a bit confusing. It's more like the feeling that you have, the good spirit that you have, instead of just focusing on a value. It's an inner feeling.
What concept has to do with ego?
You are ahead of it, yeah. We have 3 days devoted to this important topic.
Oh, I see.
And we are going to come to that.
Thank you.
You asked a very good question, which we'll try to address later on.
What if I think I don't have a conscience?
You do. That's true. Now, I'll tell you what. I did some clinical hypnosis in my training. I'm a physician, by the way.
Okay.
I did some clinical training. In fact, this was actually by a hypnotherapist. He wrote on people who are depressed. He said, you were born with lots of good things. You were born, in our terms, with true consciousness. But you are like a statue. And let me just think of the busiest place I've been to in Europe, okay? Which part of the world are you from?
My parents from India, but I'm from Canada. I was born here.
Okay. So some of the European cities are really dirty, right? Okay. And all the statues are black in color. Right? Yeah, down in Boston. Exactly. So, the saying was, you are like a statue. In the early days, pure, white, shiny, right? And later on, as you sit there, the carbon monoxide, the poison, the pollution start covering you. And you are so covered with dirt and mud that you have lost your beauty. You have lost your true nature. And that's what we are. And until those dirt have been polished, written off, wiped away, your true beauty will not show. That statue is your true consciousness. Everything else that people see after hundreds of years in the dirt, in the mud, in the rain, in the pollution, is you and I now, in the external form. So, gee, that may be what we are looking at, okay? That is from a hypnotherapist, and that is how we relate to people who are so depressed and so low in self-esteem and polish them up by having them shed their outer experience. Maybe that analogy is easier than just a pure abstract concept of true consciousness. Okay.
I think the meaning was misinterpreted before, but now I think I understand that.
Yeah. Because we associate the word consciousness with awareness. And that is an extremely difficult concept to kind of distinguish. Because our daily language is confusing. And our daily language is basically like the dirt and cover, the statue.
Emotional form?
Okay, I'm going to give an example of emotional form, okay? Your car just kind of cut me off on the highway. There's nothing physical. I yell at him. I honk at him. I swear at him. I said, that bastard. I'll try to catch up with it. Well, what's that? A form? A thought process, right? That's an emotional form. I'm so upset that I'm going to give him my finger. Right? I honk him. Okay? I'm going to chase him. I'm going to bump him off the road. What is that? That's an emotional form. To make it worse, we go and tell our friends and carry that with us for the next 2 days. Right? I'm going to get back to some other ditch or something like that. Okay? Alright? We all do that. At some point. I'm not doing it now. I'll tell you how I do it later on, okay, in the third lecture. Just remember that story. We all have experience with it.
Yeah, I just want to elaborate with yet another example of how our Buddha nature or pure consciousness got contaminated as we grow up. Imagine a Muslim child and a Christian child. When they are born, they are innocent, they have no concept of the value system in each of their culture. So if they both tasted alcohol or wine, they will say, okay, this is how alcohol or wine tastes like, right? But as they grow up, and they are brought up by different religious doctrines. In the Christian doctrine, wine is part of the mass. It represents the blood of Jesus. It's a holy icon. It's a symbol of holiness. Whereas in the Muslim religion, alcohol is strictly forbidden. It's the evil thing. So then, the Christian just said, I am a Christian. I look at this wine as the blood of Jesus. Whereas I, the Muslim, would say, you, the infidel, must be eliminated because you indulge in alcohol and even treat this devil poison concoction, you mistook it as holy. Right? So this is when the I and the ego has completely overshadowed the pure nature of recognizing things are just the way they are. But later on, through different culture, education, brainwashing, assume entirely different meanings. So this is how we recognize our Buddha nature away from the I, ego, self, and brainwashing and contamination. This is what this course is trying to do. Thank you.
We are not really just focusing on Buddhism. We are focusing on the true nature. Our course combines philosophy, religion, and science as equal. Okay. So we are not just talking about Buddhism. We are talking about something that's higher than Buddhism. The true nature of the universe. So it actually transcends religion. All right. So can we go to the next section?